the title of my message is A Narrow Way in a Wide World. And I think it's important from time to time to revisit this because of the world that we are living in presently and the age of toleration in this generation. We need as Christians to know, you see, what we believe and to know and be confident that there's only one way to heaven. And that way is Jesus Christ. And so in our time this morning, I want you to turn to the Gospel of John chapter 14. John 14 this morning. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 4. John 14. Title of my message is A Narrow Way in a Wide World. Let's pray before we begin. Lord, we thank you now for this time and this place where we can gather, Lord, and we can seek your word. And God, it's our desire to know your will, to have a clarity and confidence, Lord, as we live in a world today that's increasingly confusing and a lot of opinions out there, Lord. We need to know what we believe. We need to know what your word says about who Jesus is. And Lord, we talk a lot about heaven, but many don't know how to get there. And so, Lord, we want to be able to be those who are confident and, Lord, that we are walking and living in such a way as that it would be seen clearly the path, Lord. And so we ask you to speak to us now by your Spirit in this time. And, Lord, if there's any here that have not yet given their lives to you today, Lord, I pray that today, this day would be the day that they would respond and seek Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So, Lord, draw them to yourself. May they sense the love and the life of Christ in this place today. And Lord, may they not leave these doors without knowing you. And we'll give you the thanks for it, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. U.S. News and World Report some time back did a survey, a poll, and they asked this question of 1,000 respondents. They said, who do you think is very likely or somewhat likely to go to heaven? Now, they asked this question about several prominent figures, and you will be fascinated by the results. Of all the celebrities they asked this of this question, the biggest vote getter, of course, was the late Mother Teresa. 79% of the respondents said that she would go to heaven. You know who came in second that the people believed would go to heaven? Next to Mother Teresa, second in the poll of celebrities, was Oprah Winfrey. Good old Oprah. Yep. Boy, are they messed up. But anyhow, of course, a fourth place went to Colin Powell. And a fifth place, Princess Diana. When it came to politicians, and the figures began to plummet, however, Al Gore and Hillary Rodham Clinton each scored 55%. Newt Gingrich came in at 40%. But then what is surprising is to find that even heavenly connections didn't seem to help much in this survey because how many of you know who Pat Robertson is? Probably most of you know. Only 47% of the people said that he was going to heaven. And listen to this. Dennis Rodman got 28%. O.J. Simpson, 19%. But here's the surprising part. The biggest vote getter of all was those who were surveyed because more than 87% of Americans surveyed believed that they were most likely to go to heaven. Now listen, when I read surveys like that, it reminds me of a story that I read of a teacher who was teaching her kids how to spell. And she told the class she wanted each one of them to tell what their father did for an occupation and then to help them learn to spell. She wanted them to spell what he did. And so the first little girl, Mary, was called on. She says, my dad is a baker, B-A-K-E-R. And if he were here, he would give every one of you a cookie. Next came Tommy. He said, my dad is a banker, B-A-N-K-E-R, and if he were here, he'd give each one of us a quarter. And the third little kid, Jimmy was called on. And he said, my dad is an electrician. And he attempted several times to spell the word, but he had a problem. He was struggling. Finally, the teacher, sensing the struggle, said, well, sweetie, why don't you just sit down and think about it for a minute, and then we'll come back to you. And so he sat down, and she then turned to a little boy named Johnny, and he said, my dad is a bookie, B-O-O-K-I-E, and if he were here, he would lay you 8-5 that Jimmy is never going to spell electrician. Oh, my. Now, if I were a betting preacher, which I'm not, I would lay you about any odds you want to gamble that there are a lot of people out there today who think they are going to heaven, but they're not. Why is that? Well, there are three things that are absolutely necessary if anybody is going to heaven. First of all, you must believe in heaven. Secondly, you must want to go to heaven. Thirdly, and most importantly, you must know the way to heaven. You see, there's only one way, precious saints, to heaven. And it's not your way, and it's not my way. It's God's way. You see, as we approach our text here, Jesus had just finished telling his disciples that he was going to heaven. He was going to die. You remember when Peter said, Lord, that's not a good idea. And listen, if you're going to die, I'll go with you because I don't want to be apart from you. And I'm willing to die with you. And Jesus tells him, no, you're going to deny me, Peter. And so he was telling them he was going to heaven so he could spend eternity to prepare a place for them, to spend eternity with them, rather. And he says, so if I go and prepare, verse 3 there of John 14, a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also, and where I go, you know, and the way you know. And then, of course, Thomas asked this question. He said, Lord, we don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way? Now, the way to where? The way to what he had been talking about, the way to heaven. And Jesus said to him, in answer to that question, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Okay? So listen. This is the answer to the question. Ever since the Garden of Eden and the fall of Adam, man has been separated from God, deceived by the devil, and dead in sin. The remedy of Jesus Christ, our Creator, for all three of these problems is a relationship with Him. You see, because of His love for us, and the bad choice that Adam and Eve made, and all of us as a result, we have been separated from what God intended for us as our Creator. Jesus is the way of reconciliation. We have been deceived by the devil. Jesus is the truth of revelation. And we are dead in sin. But what we see here is Jesus is the life of regeneration. You see, with this one divine, dogmatic statement here, declaration, Jesus makes it very unmistakably clear that He alone is the way to heaven. I want you to recognize this and listen. If Jesus is not who He said He is, then quite frankly, nothing else He says really matters, does it? But if Jesus is who He said He is, then nothing else that anybody else says really matters. Isn't that the way it is? So let's listen to his statement here and see what he says. First of all, he guides our direction here. If you're taking note, we read here when answer to the question, how can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way. You need somebody to guide you. You need somebody to take you by the hand. You need somebody to show you the way to get to heaven. Jesus says, I am the way. That statement, a lot of people increasingly in our country today, at one time, that was just a common knowledge and people accepted it. No problem. Today, that statement is being challenged all around, isn't it? Especially you young people. Jesus is saying here that the path to heaven is a person, not a principle, not a practice, not a precept, not a philosophy, not a program. The way to heaven is a person. And listen, you can know the Ten Commandments, you can go to church, you can be religious, you can study the Bible, you can pray, you can do nice things for people, you can live a moral life, but you put them all together and you will not make one step on the way to heaven with all those things in tow. Why? Because Jesus is the way. And listen, if you're going any other way, I know this is like not popular. You're going, man, this is about as politically incorrect as you could ever be. My goal has never been to be politically correct. My goal is to tell you the truth as God's word says it. And I have no other agenda. And these are the words of Jesus that we're reading. And you need to know that if you're going any other way, this is hard in this day. If you're going any other way, guess what? According to Jesus here, you are going the wrong way. And that's the enemy's tactic. Illustrate, one of the most famous battles fought in all the history of the world was the Battle of the Bulge in World War II. You see, the Allies had fought their way 100 miles inside the Belgian border. They were moving at a very breakneck pace until all of a sudden things ground to a halt. The Germans, you see, had focused all of their force at one point in the battle line, and the Great Bulge became apparent. This counteroffensive almost succeeded because of something that the Germans had done just before the battle. You see, what they did a few days before the soldiers, the Allied troops arrived, the German soldiers dressed in American uniforms parachuted behind the American lines, and then they went all over the roads on which the Allied armies would travel before they got there. And you know what they did? They changed all of the signposts pointing to various towns and villages along the way and making sure that the Americans would always be going the wrong direction. So when the Americans that were fighting the Battle of the Bulge called to send reinforcement troops, most of them never came because entire battalions were lost trying to find their way across the countryside where signposts had either been taken down or turned in the wrong direction. Can you imagine if somebody just kind of cruised into an area that you'd never visited before and just messed with all of them and turned them around? How lost you would be if you were looking for a particular thing? You see, that's what the enemy is doing today to many. You see, there are nations that are lost. Why? Because they're following the signposts that are headed, that are pointing in the wrong direction. There's only one highway to heaven, and that is Jesus Christ. And every other road is a dead-end street and will, listen, wind you up in hell for all eternity. And you may think, well, you know, my way will lead me to heaven. If I'm just good enough and I try my hardest, you know, to do the right thing. Listen, that seems to be that Jesus thing, and what you're saying is that's harsh. How could a God of love? Listen, here's the deal. And the Proverbs, you see, it's not like God's word doesn't speak to the issue. In Proverbs 12, Proverbs 14, verse 12, it says, there is a way that seems right to a man. Okay? Well, it doesn't seem like, you know, if you don't believe in Jesus and receive Jesus, that God, a loving God, would send anybody to hell. There's a way that seems right. It seems to be. There must be some other way. Surely it's got to be a broader than that. A narrow way in this whole wide world. Come on, Pastor. But listen, it seems right to a man, but the end thereof, the Bible says, is what? Death. It's death. I didn't write it, okay? I'm just delivering the message, that's all. You don't like it? Take it up with God. Don't take it up with me, okay? Heard about a man from the city who was out in the country and he got lost. There was a farmer sitting on the front porch. This was before GPS. Of the cabin, and he walked up to this farmer and he said, sir, what's the best way to the city? The old farmer drawled, he says, is this the best way to the city? The old farmer drawled and said, nope, it's the only way to the city. There's only one way. Jesus isn't just a good way to heaven. He's not a better way to heaven. He's not even the best way to heaven. Guess what? He's the only way to heaven. Okay? He's the only way. And listen, let me put it to you like this. If, in fact, he is not the way, here's the assessment you are forced to make. He's a liar. Would you say that about Jesus? No. He's not a liar. He's not a deceiver. You see, that's the conclusion that you must come to, or he's telling the truth. Listen, every one of us that are here in this building, there are three things that are true about you. You're either on your way to heaven, that is, you're saved and you're showing others how to be saved. Or you are in the way to heaven and a stumbling block to others because you need to be saved. You're just religious. Or you're off the way to heaven and you're lost and you need to find your way. Listen, you'll know the way by the time this study's over, okay? And if you've not yet come to Christ, today's the day to give your life to Jesus Christ and let him work, change your life. So you see, Jesus here is the one that guides our direction. He also guards our doctrine. He said, I am the truth. Notice he didn't say, I am a truth. He said, I am the truth. Big difference. You see, he not only tells us the truth, he is the truth. All truth is God's truth. And listen, God's truth is centered in, surrounded by, and anchored firmly to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the plumb line by which all other truth is to be measured. That's why the Bible says in Corinthians, bring every thought, every imagination, all into the obedience and the captivity of the mind of Christ. We can't afford not to. We are living in a day, though, where that's something that people push away from and don't want to do. That's why we're in the mess that we're in presently in this country, and it's growing worse, you see. Here's the bottom line. If you disconnect social truth from Jesus, you know what you got left over? Racism. If you disconnect economic truth from Jesus, you have communism. You take from the rich to give to the poor and put everybody on the same level. If you disconnect cultural truth from Jesus, you have humanism. If you disconnect scientific truth from Jesus, guess what you've got? Atheism. Hey, where are we? Isn't that where we're at in this country? That disconnect from God, that disconnect life, disconnect our society and our education system and all that we are from Jesus Christ. Agnosticism doubts truth. Rationalism questions truth. Infidelity rejects truth and logic dissects truth. Education seeks truth. But Jesus says, I am the truth. We are living in a day where the Holy Trinity has been replaced by an earthly trinity that we worship of education, information, and knowledge. Today, we bow before our computers and worship and the shrine of science and our technology, thinking that that's going to solve all of our problems. If we could just get more technology and more study scientifically, can I tell you that's not solving all of our problems? Is it? We've come a long way. We are one of the most technologically advanced countries in the world. Are our problems fixed? You know why? Because those things aren't the answer. Those things are not the answer. Listen, all truth is equally true, but is all truth equally important? I want to tell you right now, it doesn't matter what you know, how much you know, or who you know today, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, I care not how much truth you know. I heard about a pastor who enjoyed boxing, and he was taking one of his congregants, who was a boxer, to a boxing match, and spent a little time with him as he knew he liked that, to get to know him better. Just before the fight started, one of the boxers knelt down in the ring and made the sign of the cross. And so this congregant, parishioner, asked his pastor, "Well, what does that mean?" The pastor says, "It doesn't mean a thing if he doesn't know how to box." That's a problem in the church today. A lot of people go to church, but the church doesn't teach the Bible, so people are ignorant about what the Bible teaches. They know a lot of stuff about religion. They know a lot of stuff about social mores and all, but they don't know anything about what God's Word says, because they don't spend time studying it. The Bible verse is where they depart. They don't exposit and teach the text. So important that we do that. Doesn't matter how much truth you know if you don't know the truth. What will it matter today if you managed all of the sciences and memorized all of history and mastered several languages, and yet you missed out on the greatest truth of all, and that is the Lordship of Jesus Christ? He's the one who guards the truth. He's the one who sets forth the doctrine. In fact, it is He who is praying for us in John 17. And He says, "Your word," speaking to the Father, "is truth." You cannot separate the incarnate truth from the imprinted truth, God's word, the Bible. Dr. Schofield, who is the authored the Schofield Study Bible, he said this, and I quote, "Christianity is the religion of a divine person and of a divine book. And the person and the book are inseparable. Some there are in every age who endeavor to divorce Christ and the Bible. But apart from the Bible, we should know nothing of Christ. And apart from Christ, we should never understand the Bible," which is why a lot of people say, when you ask them, "Have you ever read the Bible?" "Well, yeah, it's confusing." Yeah, because you haven't come to the author. You haven't come to the author, Jesus Christ, who guides our direction, guards our doctrine. And then thirdly, we see here in our text, He gives us dynamic. He says this, "I am the life." If you don't have Jesus today, you're a dead man, dead woman walking. In fact, the very purpose that He came, He stated in John 10, He says, "I have come that you might have life, and that more abundantly." Not just so you'll exist, not just so you'll go through life and wonder what it's all about, so that you can have true life, and that life is abundantly blessed and wonderfully lived because of what Jesus has done for us. There are basically three types of people in this world. There are people who have no purpose in life. They're born, they live, and they die, and it's over. Peggy Lee, years ago, sung it in a song, "Is that all there is? Is that all there is, my friend? If that's all there is, then break out the booze and have a ball if that's all." Thank God that's not all. That's not all. Listen, today, if you've come and you don't have purpose and you don't know what your purpose is, you need to come to Christ today. Maybe you're here and you represent the second group. You have the wrong purpose in life. You're climbing the ladder, and you've been climbing the ladder of financial or political or social or even religious success. But the higher you get, the more you realize it's leaning on the wrong wall. You know what? No matter what's happened with all that you've done and all that you've accomplished and all that you thought, you know, where you thought you would be today and what you thought would fulfill today has left you empty. You see, you need to come to Christ. You see, because there are those, a third group, who have found the purpose, the right purpose in life. Because they have found the only person who can not only give years to your life, bad life to your years. That's key. What good is it to live a long life? We're living longer than ever. Yeah, so the misery grows. The sense of purposelessness grows. The sense of peace and prosperity and fulfillment is leaving us a desperate increasingly. Listen, you'll never find the right purpose in life until you know the person who is life. And that's Jesus Christ. You won't find it in your financial portfolio or your popularity or anything else. Real life can be found only in a reigning Lord who is life, you see. That's why religion and Christianity are so totally different. You can have religion and you can be religious without Jesus, but you can't have Christianity without Christ. Phillips Brooks once asked, is it necessary, he was asked, is it necessary to have a personal experience with Christ in order to be a Christian? To which Mr. Brooks said, my friend, a personal experience with Christ is Christianity. It is Christianity. Do you see why the greatest statement Jesus ever made was this statement when he said, I am the way to God. I am the truth of God, and I am life from God. That's what he was saying. When people ask the question, hey, how can I be saved? Guess what we tell them? Jesus said, I'm the way. I'm the way. When they say, well, but how can I be sure? You can say, I'm the truth. Jesus said, I'm the truth. What's more sure than truth? When people ask the question, how can I be satisfied? You go, hey, guess what? He's the life. You want life, man? You want life as it was meant to be lived? Life as God intended it and life abundant and to have satisfaction beyond measure in this life? Or whether you have a million or, you know, only $100 to your name. You want real life? It's all in wrapped up in Jesus Christ. You see, that's it. To the lost person, he's the way. To the learning person, he's the truth. To the longing person, he is the life. He made it very plain. Without him, there's no going. Without him, there's no knowing. Without him, there is no growing. He guides our direction. He guards our doctrine. He gives us dynamic. And then finally, he governs our destiny. For he says these words as well. No one comes to the Father except by me. But Pastor, you mean, yeah, I don't care, you know, what they're doing. I don't care whether they're crawling across, you know, fire, you know, pit on glass on their knee. I don't care whatever they've done or doing. There is no other way to get to heaven except through him. That statement, a lot of people today have trouble with. I mean, increasingly. Why? Because it deals a death blow to the doctrine called universalism that says essentially all roads lead to heaven and that one way is just as good as another if they just believe in a God and a higher power and try and be a good person and live according to their religion, then they're going to heaven. You go, I can't believe. Well, wait a minute. If you can't believe
what Jesus said here, then you don't believe in who Jesus is. He said, there is no other way. Count them. Zero. No other way to heaven. But that's, sounds narrow. Well, it is narrow. Sounds dogmatic. Well, it is dogmatic. And it sounds exclusive because it is exclusive. It is the watershed of this verse here of our Christian faith. I hope to make that very clear to you. I hope it becomes clear to you. I hope that this verse gets ingrained where you can do this Bible study in your head. I hope you've memorized this verse. That when you're attacked by the enemy to say, surely God wouldn't, wait a minute, that verse says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father. There is no other way to have your sin forgiven. There is no other name, Acts 4:12 says, under heaven by which a man may be saved. If there is, then you can take your Bibles and throw them in the trash can. Okay? If you name the name of Christ and you call yourself a Christian, listen, man, you can go to heaven and not have a lot of money. You can have some bad health. You cannot be very popular, you see. You cannot have a good name or not be very smart and that kind of a thing. You can you can have a lot of stuff, but you can't go to heaven without Jesus. That's just the fact of life. Illustrate this. Story is told of Dwight L. Moody, the Billy Graham of his day, who was preaching in a big church one day. And the place was filled to capacity, and the ushers were not letting anyone else in the building. Mr. Moody, finally, the time was approaching. They were on the last song, and he's coming with his entourage, getting ready to go to the pulpit to preach. And on the way into the building, this great big man with a tender heart saw this little boy who was crying. He said, son, why are you crying? To which the young boy said, I want to go hear Mr. Moody preach, and they won't let me in. Now, he didn't know, of course, that he was talking to the preacher, Dwight L. Moody. So this gentle giant of a man that he was said, do you really want to hear Moody preach? He said, yes, sir, I sure do. To which Mr. Moody replied, son, tell you how you can get in. Now you got to do exactly what I tell you to do. To which the little boy responded, what's that? He said, I want you to take hold of my coattails. Moody was wearing one of those long coats, you see, with those tails that reached almost to the floor. He says, you got to get a hold of my coattails. And listen, do not let go because we're going in. That little guy took him at his word. He grabbed onto Moody's coattails. And of course, when Moody walked in, that little boy walked in right behind him, holding tightly onto those coattails, and the ushers smiling as they walked by, going in together. I want to tell you that heaven is closed to anyone except those who would hold on to the coattails to the cross of Jesus Christ. There is no other way. Jesus is the way. You need to take him. Jesus is the truth. You need to respond to him. Jesus is the life. You need to trust him. If you do, you know what? Your chances of going to heaven, you know what they are? 100%. If you don't, you know what your chances of going to hell are? 100%. But pastor, no buts. Either this is God's word and the truth of God's word, or it's not. I had a friend who I grew up with, and Mike Morris and I played in rock bands with. His name was Jerry Neese, a brilliant, brilliant guy. He was a great guitar player. He was very, every year, I don't know how he did it. It frustrated me. The guy'd get on the honor roll. He was always on the honor roll, okay? He went to college, majored in philosophy. I, several years out of school, wanted to go see him as a Christian. Kind of, you know, I mean, when you're around smart people, like dumb people like me, are like a little intimidated, you know? Like the high school dropout is a little intimidated by the guy with the college degree, master's in philosophy. But I felt compelled to go share the gospel with him. So I stopped by his house and spent some time with him and was talking to him about Jesus. And he says, well, you know, I mean, as a philosophy, I truly believe that Jesus was a good man. And I believe that, you know, I mean, of all the religions that are out there, I tend towards Christianity because I believe it has the most to offer by way of philosophy and teaching and that kind of a thing. But I don't know that I, you know, go all the way on that. And I says, well, here's the deal, Jerry. You see, the Bible is not written in such a way as that you have the option that you're presenting to me of kind of agreeing that Jesus was a good man and a good person and was a good teacher and a moral example to follow. He says, well, what do you mean? I says, well, here's the deal. I mean, either the way the Bible is written, either you throw the whole thing in the trash can and say it's all a bunch of hogwash and a bunch of stories and lies, or you know what? You can't kind of accept it. You got to accept it all. It's an all or nothing proposition. Because, you see, Jesus said, and I took him to this verse, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. I said, is he a way or is he the way? Well, I believe he's a good teacher. But wait a minute. You say good teacher, but if what this statement says here, and Jesus made this statement, if it is not true, how could he be a good teacher and a liar at the same time? How many liars do you know that are good teachers? How would you like a science teacher that was a liar? I want to teach you about science. The earth is square. And, you know, I mean, come on. I said, it's not, you know, there's no option there either. Listen, I said, if you want to throw out the Bible and say it's all hogwash and Jesus was a liar and didn't tell the truth, then there is no heaven or hell, then great, you throw it all out. Well, I don't want to do that. Well, you can't, you see, then you've got to receive Christ. And you're responsible because you've heard. You're accountable because you've heard. I'd like to say it had a good ending. It didn't. He didn't respond. He tried to stay in his position, but at least he heard. Folks, none of us can guarantee a response, but we got to preach. Okay, it's not up to us to make them respond, to argue them into the kingdom, but it is our responsibility to give them a clear representation and understanding and revelation of God's word and how it applies to their lives so that they'll know. So that we can say, hey, like Paul, I'm free from the blood of all men. You know what? I preach the gospel to those people who God brought into my path. They have been confronted with the message of Jesus Christ. The questions that they have been biblically answered. And you know what? If they don't respond, their blood and hell is their own fault, not mine. It's convicting, isn't it? Got neighbors you haven't said anything to? About Jesus? You've had the opportunity, but you've not said anything. You work with people that don't know. You stood with people in line that you've never spoken to about Jesus. Listen, all of us are eternal beings. We are either headed to heaven or hell, and that is all directly tied to what we believe about Jesus. Is he the way? Is he the truth? Is he the life? Or are there other ways? Listen, according to the Bible, if you are a Christian, there is no other way. So listen, everybody that we come in contact with is either a believer in Jesus Christ and are on their way to heaven, or they are just lost and they are on their way to hell. There is no middle ground. There's no purgatory. Sorry.
No second chances. It's appointed once for a man to die, and then after he dies, what happens? Judgment.
Judgment will be determined on what you did with Jesus Christ. People, we've got to stand in an age where education is God. Biggest business in the world. I mean, not in the world. Well, it's growing in the world. Definitely the biggest business in this country. You know what the biggest business in this country is? Education.
But what are you teaching them? When it comes to right and wrong, when it comes to good and bad, the lines are being blurred. There is no right. It's whatever you say is right. There is no wrong. It's what, and that's what we're teaching our children in school without God, without the Word of God, without Christ. What do we do? What are we teaching them? How to add and subtract. Why? So they can design better weapons to kill one another with. Great. That's important.
We need Jesus. We need a revelation, not simply education, not simply technology, not simply advancements in science, you see, because all those things, while they can be helpful, are not going to fix the problem until we come to the solution. Man is in desperate need of a Savior to fix him. And that Savior, no other name, no other way, is Jesus.
God strengthen and embolden us to preach this message powerfully, to not back down. Kids, you can't back down. Teenagers in school, they're pushing. Come on. And ever the pressure is on, man. You can't succumb to the pressure. You got to stand for Jesus Christ in an age that is not popular. But we're not here to be popular, are we? We're here to preach the gospel. To live for Jesus Christ, to worship Him and serve Him. May God help us to stay the course, and may the clarity continue to sound from both the way that we live our lives, that people see Christ, and the message that we share with them and preach to them about the truth when it comes to heaven and how to get there. Let's pray.